Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. It'll be our text this morning. Actually, it'll be our text this whole Advent season. The next four Sundays, we're going to look at this one verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And what it tells us, what it teaches us about the celebration of Christmas. I read an article a few weeks ago about Christmas in Japan. You might not know this, but over the past few decades, Christmas has become a big deal in Japan. The Christmas lights, Christmas gifts, Christmas cards, and Christmas parties. It's not an official holiday yet, but they love to celebrate Christmas in that culture. It's a night of romance. You can't get a reservation in a restaurant on Christmas Eve because of the way they're celebrating Christmas over there. And for them, Christmas is a totally secular holiday. It's just a party. We have given them Christmas without Christ. Is it surprising that they've looked at the American culture and discovered a Christless Christmas? The reason they have a Christmas without Christ is if you walk through any mall in Oklahoma City, you would find Christmas without Christ, wouldn't you? It's important in the church that we understand that Christmas is not a cultural holiday, but Christmas is theological. In fact, it's Christological. The point of celebrating the birth of Jesus for us is answering this question, what child is this? Christmas is all about who Jesus is. And even though Mark's gospel does not give us an account of the birth of Jesus, he starts his gospel with the ministry of Jesus introduced by John the Baptizer. Mark does, in his introductory verse, just one verse, summarize for us in very concise fashion the answer to the question, who is Jesus? What are we celebrating when we celebrate the birth of Jesus? In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, Mark starts his account of Jesus with this simple statement: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's interesting to me that when we study the gospels of Matthew and Luke and John and their accounts of who Jesus is, this same verse could be set forth as a summary. The gospel of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Let's take some time, one by one, and walk through the way that Mark sets up the story of Jesus. In the weeks to come, we're going to talk about the significance of the name Jesus and the significance of the title Christ and all that Mark means when he declares that Jesus is the Son of God and how that impacts us. But this morning, as we begin the Advent season, I want us to consider the significance of that phrase, the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel. The New Testament word gospel is the word from which our word evangelism comes, euangelion, the good news. And Christmas proclaims the good news, doesn't it? Mark's not the only one that uses the word gospel. He loves the word gospel. He uses the noun gospel seven times in his short little account, more than any other gospel writer. But you remember, even in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, he likes to use this word gospel. When Zechariah, the prophet, has an encounter with Gabriel, the angel, who tells him that his wife Elizabeth is going to have a son, and that son will be John, and John will be the forerunner. Remember? And Zechariah questions the angel when he tells him that his son John is going to be the forerunner because the Messiah is on his way. And the angel says, listen, I'm Gabriel, and I was sent here to bring you this good news, he says. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, euangelion, this good news. And in Luke chapter 2, when the angels appear to the shepherds in the field, and the angel speaks to the shepherd, he says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. So the Gospel of Luke affirms what Mark teaches us, that when we consider the beginning of the story of Jesus, we need first of all to get a hold of this word, gospel, good news, euangelion in the New Testament language. Mark begins by declaring good news. The problem with us is that even for us in church, this word gospel, it's almost like the word Noel. We know it has something to do with Jesus, but we really don't know what it means. And for most of us, even in church on Sunday morning at 8:15, the word gospel is a kind of a churchy sounding word. We know it has something to do with Jesus, but we don't have a full, firm understanding of what Mark means when he says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so let's take a little time here at the beginning of the Advent season to press into this word gospel. As I study the word gospel, the way it's used in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the way Mark's hearers first received the word, there are three important notes here in the gospels. One is a note of joy. The other note emphasizes what God has done. And the third is an emphasis on how God is making things new. So when we hear the word gospel, good news, gospel, we should hear a call to rejoice because God is making all things new. He's setting things right. Gospel. Let's take those one at a time. First of all, when you hear the word gospel, you should hear a call to rejoice. The word gospel, good news, is a word that carries with it a note of joy. In fact, sometimes in the secular writings of ancient Greece and Rome, the word euangelion is translated joyful tidings. There is within the understanding of the word gospel a note of joy, of rejoicing, good news, joyful tiding. That's why we sing joy to the world. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. The reason the idea of joy and rejoicing is so much a part of the Christmas celebration is because this word gospel is a word that communicates joy. In fact, years ago, the pastor of First Baptist Church, Oklahoma City, Herschel Hobbs, wrote that if the word gospel was turned into a newspaper headline, it would read, something wonderful has happened. Gospel. Something wonderful has happened. There's that note of joy. And listen, the joy of Christmas is not the joy of family or gifts or creating Hallmark moments. The joy of Christmas is the joy of the gospel. And if you have allowed yourself over the years to drift with the culture into the idea that the joy of Christmas is about being healthy and wealthy with your family, then you're disappointed this time of year. But the joy of Christmas is the joy of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the joy of the gospel. So when we hear the word gospel, we want to think first of all of joy, of rejoicing, something wonderful has happened. But even deeper, we understand that the word gospel, good news, gospel, calls us to rejoice in the work that God has done. Gospel is a word that declares the work that God has done, that He is doing, that He has done, that He will do. Not the work that we must do. In fact, we sang Go Tell It on the Mountain. Do you know why at Christmas we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain? It's connected to this word gospel, good news. Keep your finger there in Mark and turn back to Isaiah chapter 40. In Mark chapter 1, as soon as he introduces the gospel of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, Mark quotes Isaiah chapter 40, because Isaiah chapter 40 is maybe the primary Old Testament background from which we understand the New Testament usage of the word gospel, good news. We find it right here, and Mark quotes it in Mark chapter 1. You follow along as I read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Skip to verse 9. Get yourself up on a high mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. O Zion, bearer of what? Good news, the gospel. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of the good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might and with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Go tell it on the mountain, because God is doing a new work, Isaiah says. I have a five-volume theological dictionary on my bookshelf, an old set of books. And when I look up the word gospel, there are several pages of definition and explanation, how it's used in the New Testament, how it's used in the Old Testament, and the description of the Old Testament theology here in Isaiah chapter 40, get thee up on a mountain and declare the good news, the gospel, says that the gospel is, quote, the public announcement of something wrought by God. And that, we don't use that word wrought anymore, do we? W-R-O-U-G-H-T. It's a past participle of the word work. So the good news is the public announcement of the work of God, something God has done. So the word gospel is a word that calls us to rejoice in the work that God has done. It's interesting to me that as the celebration of the birth of Christ has become distorted in our culture, more and more we have made Christmas something that we do. I mean, most of you here have a list of what you have to do between now and Christmas. Decorate and buy gifts and prepare meals and gather families. Primarily, Christmas is primarily something that the women do, right? And in a similar way, just as making the celebration of Christmas something we do takes the joy out of it, in a similar way, making the gospel something we do takes the joy out of it. Christmas is not a celebration of what we do, it's a celebration of what He has done, because the gospel is not a proclamation of what we must do, it's a proclamation of what He has done. It's a good news announced, and all we do is receive it. And so many of us have made the gospel something we do. We've lost the joy of it. It's just something else added to our list of religious and moral requirements. But we rejoice in the gospel when we rejoice in the work that God has done. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That we were helpless and hopeless sinners, but God intervened for us, taking on flesh, living a perfect life, laying down His life on the cross of Calvary, so that we who were dead in our trespasses and sins might be alive, so that we who were not a people might be His people, so that we orphans might be adopted. It's His work that we celebrate, not our work. And when we hear the word gospel, we need to hear a call to rejoice in what God hath wrought, in what God has done, in God's work, not in our work. And listen, just as there's this misunderstanding sometimes that makes the gospel about what we do and not what God does, there's another misunderstanding that takes the joy out of the gospel, the joy out of Christmas. Remember, gospel is a word, a concept that communicates joy, and it focuses on God's work. It focuses specifically on God's work, making things new, setting things right. The word gospel speaks to an announcement that something dramatic has happened that changes things forever. Gospel is a proclamation of all things made new. And I think Mark is hinting at that when he begins by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. When you begin to read a story in the Bible and the first word is the beginning, what do you think of? You probably should hear an echo of page one of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Mark is going to tell us a story of a new beginning. So he says, in the beginning of the gospel. He's reminding us that he's telling us the story about how God, the Creator, sets about His new creation. How God is making all things new through the person of Jesus Christ in the gospel. And so when we hear the word good news, gospel, we should be reminded that the evangel, the good news, is an historical event that establishes a new state of affairs. This is the way the Romans use the word. And so the gospel is the good news of how God in Christ Jesus is making all things new. And that sounds like good news to everyone except the one who likes things the way they are. Herod the innkeeper. Wealthy Americans. Anybody who prefers the status quo. People who like things the way they are have never been too interested in the gospel. That's why Jesus had to say, oh, it's hard for the rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember who flocked to Jesus? People who were desperate and sick and tired of the status quo. Do you remember who opposed Jesus or ignored Jesus, even crucified Jesus? The people who were at the top of the heap in the way things were. It's always and will always be that way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to people who are sick and tired of the way things are. And this is why people like us in a place like this tend to get so confused about what Christmas is all about. When our boys were little boys, during the holiday break, we'd play a lot of board games. And when they got to be about 9, 10, 12 years old, we went through a couple of years there where they loved, and we loved together, the four of us, to play the board game Risk. You ever play Risk? It's no surprise that me and the boys like Risk, because the subtitle on the board game is Risk, the game of global domination, right? Only in America. And if you've never played it, the board is a map divided up into continents and 42 countries, and you take your turn trying to acquire more and more and more, more possessions, more countries, more power, more forces. And what was interesting about playing the game of Risk with a group of brothers is that eventually it gets to the place where it's clear that somebody's going to win this game and the others are going to lose the game. And when that status quo sets in, then the losers want to play Monopoly. And the winner says, no, 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 let's keep playing. I like this game. The gospel is good news for people who are ready for another game, who are weary of the way things are. And listen, if you're not sick and tired of the status quo in the world as it now is, then you've got spiritual problems. Can I tell you frankly, if you are satisfied with the status quo, then you've got spiritual problems. This is why all those Christmas songs say, oh come, Emmanuel, rescue us from this sin and darkness. Christmas is not good news for people who prefer the status quo. But it is good news of a new work of God who's setting the world right by setting us right. When Mark says, I'm going to tell you about the beginning of the gospel, he's calling us to rejoice because God in Christ Jesus is making all things new. He's setting things right. That's why before page one of the gospel of Mark is over, Jesus comes preaching the gospel saying, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. The good news. Repent and believe. Do you see? To believe, that's a call. That's the call that says, listen, this is not about what you're doing for God. It's about what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And your part of it is to believe. Is to trust Him the way the angels trusted, the way the shepherd trusted the angel when he says, I have good news for you. Believe. And repent. It means, would you turn away from the status quo? Would you stop trying to pretend, to convince yourself that everything's okay, and acknowledge the darkness and corruption in this world, the darkness and corruption in your heart? Would you finally get sick and tired enough of the status quo to turn away from sin and self and turn toward Jesus, the good news, the gospel? Rejoice, because in Christ Jesus, God is doing something new. Repent and believe. Bow your heads with me for prayer. Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Forgive us, Lord, for searching for joy in so many misguided ways. We confess this morning that joy is only found in Jesus, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate in this season. We praise you, God, for what you have wrought. For your work, setting us right, making things new through Jesus, his death and burial and resurrection. Oh Lord, we repent, acknowledging our brokenness and sinfulness, emptiness of life. We turn away from the status quo, and we gladly receive what you give us in Jesus. By faith. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a hymn as an opportunity to respond to God's word and to His Holy Spirit. In a moment when we stand and sing this hymn, some may come forward kneeling at these front steps in prayer, maybe repenting, trusting, giving thanks, rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you come with some special prayer need. You could pray with one of our pastors, or you could kneel here at the steps to pray. Some others may come to join the fellowship of our church. Some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. You've been trying to pretend that everything's okay. You maybe have been trying to keep yourself up at the top of the mountain in the way things are, in this status quo. But this morning you realize that good news is only found in Jesus, as He makes things new, as He makes you new. You're ready to come turning from sin and trusting in Christ as Savior and King. Would you come to faith in Christ this Advent season? Believing, repenting, this invitation is your opportunity. Let's stand together and sing, and as we're singing, you come.